Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Well, let the church say amen. Okay, we can do a whole lot better than that. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
I'm excited about the kingdom of God. I said I'm excited about the kingdom of God. And I pray that you are as well this morning, excited about the kingdom of God and going deeper with him in this semester. This morning, I want to preach from the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. Add to your faith to go deep with God. Add to your faith to go deep with God. By show of hands quickly, how many of you all really want to go deeper with God this semester? Come on, raise your hands, raise your hand. Wonderful, wonderful. Hundreds of you raised your hand this morning that you really want to go deeper with God. You know, as this thing was introduced, I said to the Lord, Lord, I want to go to a place I've never been with you before. I want to go deep with you. And it was like the Lord said, oh yeah? I said, yes, Lord, I want to go deep with you. And he said, let me point out some things in your life that you need to go a little bit deeper with me. And one of those passages that I've preached many times before, but it seemed like the Lord showed me this passage afresh. Well, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. This passage reminds me where there's life, there has to be growth. Where there's life, there has to be growth. Put that on the screen for me real quickly here. Where there's life, there must be growth. I want to remind you and I this morning that so many times people get saved or born again, and they think that's the end of it. But when we get saved or born again, that's just the beginning of it. Let me say that one more time. People think when they get saved, they go, hallelujah, I'm a child of God, and that's the end of it. But no, that's just the beginning of your experience. But I want to remind you, to grow and to go deeper is never automatic. Growth is never automatic. Just because you're a child of God, growth is never automatic. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I go to church every Sunday morning. I'm glad you do. But just because you go to church every Sunday morning doesn't mean you grow every Sunday morning. You say, well, preacher, I love to sing. Just because you love to sing doesn't mean that growth is automatic. I wish I had a Baptist church right now. I'd get an amen. Amen? Just because you pay $2 in church, okay, $1 in church, doesn't mean that growth is automatic. It doesn't make you a spiritual giant or a Christian no more than spending the night in the garage makes you a car. I want to remind each and every one of us, oh, wait a minute, a thought just occurred to me. If you're a student at Columbia International University, wait a minute, wrong side, let me get this side over here. If you're a student at Columbia International University, especially if you're in the seminary, especially if you're in the grad school or the counseling program, sometimes we think because we've made it here to this Mecca, that growth is automatic. And I just want to remind you, just because we're here, it's not automatic. So as we look in the 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, may the Holy Spirit speak to you like he's spoken to my heart. And make sure that we never think that growth is automatic, but that we can grow through these seven characteristics as we add to our faith to go deeper with God. Verse 5 says this. It says, but also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Now remember, I've been saying it for a little while this morning, that growth is not automatic. So what do we need to add to our faith? The first thing he says in this text, that you need to add or supplement to your faith, simply this, virtue, which carries this idea of excellence, or some translations calls it moral excellence. To the Greek philosophers, it meant the fulfillment of a thing. It's when a thing is doing what it's called to do, or what it's meant to do. When a tool is doing exactly what a tool is meant to do. Or when crops are growing and doing what they're exactly what they're supposed to do. If you're a peach tree, you produce peaches. If you're an apple tree, you produce apples. If you're an orange tree, you produce orange. If you're a grapevine, tell me where it is. I want to get some. If you're a vine, you do exactly what a grapevine is supposed to do. It's the idea of virtue. It's the idea of excellence. It's the idea of moral excellence. Let me stop here for a question for you and I. Are you doing exactly what you've been called to do? Are you living out that virtue, that excellence, that you're fulfilling what God has called you to do? I think the first thing here, and there seems to be a little progression here, that as we look at this idea of virtue and moral excellence, that God is saying one of the first things that we need to add, one of the first characteristics that we need to add, is simply this idea of virtue. Are you excellent at all you do? Wait a minute. That's the wrong question. Do you want to be excellent in all that you do? Do you want to be excellent in your studies? Do you want to be excellent in your relationships? Do you want to be excellent in the way you carry yourself? The text reminds us here that the first thing that's added to faith, if you really want to grow, if you really want to go deeper, is this whole idea of moral excellence, this whole idea of virtue. The second characteristic that's added here is this sense of knowledge. And you see, I've highlighted it for you there in red, that knowledge. Not only do you want to add virtue, but you also want to add knowledge. And knowledge never comes automatically. One translation calls it full knowledge, or growing in knowledge. Some even use the word discernment. It's the ability to handle life successfully. I want to remind you and I that you can never separate the heart and the head. You can never separate character and knowledge. They kind of work hand in hand together. When you have this knowledge, you have the ability to navigate life, to move through life successfully. What kind of knowledge are you adding to your life? I was reading a passage of scripture the other morning, read it thousands upon thousands of times in my life and quoted probably a few hundred times. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. In other words, he shall make your paths straight as you trust him, as you walk with him, as you gain this knowledge with him. I remember one of my theology professors here at CIU, Dick Belcher, would say it like this: you have experiential knowledge. You have this knowledge where you've walked with God, and God is able to help you navigate life. Can I ask you something? Who's walking with you? I know your roommate is walking with you, but who's walking with you? I know your bestest friend is walking with you, but do you have the Lord walking with you this morning? Do you want the Lord to walk with you? Help me with this knowledge that I want to get to know you deeper, that I want to go deeper with you. And so we be clear, be careful what you ask for. Because in order for you to have a testimony, he has to take you through some tests. There has to be some difficult days. There has to be some days where he turns your life upside down. I've been there before when I felt like I knew what was gonna happen and God flipped the switch on me. I remember my wife and I when we were pregnant with our first child and I was praising God. I can still hear my wife whisper to me, "Don't tell anybody we're pregnant yet." But I was excited, so I told everybody. And we lost child number one. Went to the doctor, it was bad. Doctor said, "Try again." That sounded groovy to me, so we tried again. Got pregnant again, lost child number two. I'm going, "What doest thou this, Lord?" Doctor told us that we probably wouldn't have kids. It's probably just let it go. And so we just resigned to the fact that we wouldn't have kids. But lo and behold, she got pregnant again. And when she got pregnant again, the doctor told us that after so many weeks, that this child is gonna be severely deformed, handicapped. This child will be born with not only Down syndrome, but an inability to learn. And I said, "Lord, what are you doing?" And he said to me, "Pastor, just go ahead and abort this child and let her go." And I went home and I prayed and I cried out before the Lord. I called my parents and I said, "What are we gonna do?" And my dad said, "We're praying with you, trusting God." He said, "But go deeper with God right now. Trust him like you've never trusted him before. Let God give you some knowledge of him that you've never had before." I called the doctor back and I told the doctor, "We're gonna have that child." Doctor said, "Well, I'm warning you, it's gonna be this, that, it's gonna cost you thousands of dollars." And I said, "It's okay." But you know, as I sat over there this morning, and I watched her lead worship this morning, I said, "God, thank you that I trusted you when I could not see you, when I could not trace you. And sometimes, God will put you in a situation where he gives you more knowledge than you ever wanted, to add to your faith, to add to your experience. And if you don't know that God can do it here, you won't trust him for God to do it out there. When you're broke, busted, and disgusted, trust God. When the chips, I'm talking to the wrong crowd. Y'all never been broke before? When you've been broke, say, "Lord, I still trust you even when I can't trace you. Lord, when the relationship is not going right, Lord, I still trust you to see me through, to give me more knowledge of you than I've ever had before." Not only do we add virtue and knowledge, but here's another one. The third characteristic he says add is the whole idea of self-control. The ability to control yourself. To be temperate. What he reminds us of here is the ability to control your anger. To control you. To not let the sun go down on your wrath. To rule your spirit well. Because if you can't rule your spirit, you can't take the city. To control yourself, to master who you are. And you know what? For a lot of people, it's easy for them to master others, but it's a lot more difficult for them to master themselves. And if you want to go deep with God this year, before you pastor anybody else, before you teach anybody else, before you disciple anybody else, guess who you need to pastor first, teach first, disciple first? Why don't you work on you first? Self-control and temperance. You know, if you add this to your faith, if you add this ability to handle yourself well, if you add this ability to control yourself, God can use you in amazing ways in the days to come. But he doesn't just stop there. Next, he says to this idea of self-control, this idea of temperance, add the idea of perseverance. Some translation calls it patience, but I think the better translation is that the idea of perseverance. Add perseverance. If you want to go deep with God, you know this is not automatic. Add some perseverance. It's the ability to endure when circumstances are difficult. It's almost a picture of when there's a heavy load, but you're still able to endure. You're still able to pass the test. You know, if self-control talks about the pleasures of life, then perseverance deals with the problems of life. That you got to be able to go deep. Then I'm going to endure. I heard a little song. You want to hear the song? No pain, no gain. I got to be able to endure like a good soldier, like a wartime soldier. Are you able to persevere? Are you able to handle difficult moments? You know, my brother, who's 6 years younger than I am, was playing football at Ben Lippin some years ago. And it got difficult for him. He hated the practice. He hated being out in the sun. He hated all the licks and stuff. And he called my dad, and he told my dad, he said, I'm going to quit. And he heard something that my dad has never said before. My daddy said, go ahead, quit. It gets easier every time you do it. He said, what do you mean? He said, if you quit this, you'll be quit something else when it gets more difficult. You'll quit the next thing that's difficult, and you'll quit the next thing that's difficult. And my brother said, I'm not a quitter. My dad said, it's okay, you can quit. You know, show how wimpy you are. Go ahead and quit. It won't be bad. You can just learn how to quit things early, and, you know, you'll be all right. My brother got so mad with my dad on the phone, he said, stop calling me a quitter. My daddy said, well, then learn how to persevere. My brother went back on the football field, and he became the beast of the field. He became the number one offensive lineman on the team. Why? Because he learned how to persevere. You know, if you want to go deep with God, this is not for those who want to quit early. This is for those who want to stay late. This is for those who want to persevere and say, I'm going to do whatever it takes by the help of God, by the help of His Spirit. Are you all with me this morning? That I'm going to persevere. I'm going to go deep with God. I've never been here before. You know, I was in the weight room a few weeks ago, and I was lifting 25 pounds, and I thought I was doing something. You know, I was looking at myself in the mirror, and I thought I was, I was impressed with my 25 pounds. And a young lady walked up to me in the gym. She said, you are warming up, right? And I said, yeah, but in my mind, I was like, I'm not warming up. I'm finishing my workout. And she looked at me. She said, you need to add some weight. And I didn't want to look bad, so I picked up a 50-pound bar. I felt a little bit of sweat coming down right over here. She was over there lifting her weight. And I said, look, I'm doing better now. Oh, she said, you're really warming up now. When are you going to get some real weight? I said, I don't know who she's talking to. I'm the man, 50 pounds. So I picked up a 100-pound bar. Yep. Don't do that. And what happened was, I started lifting the bar. I'm trying to show I can, whatever I was trying to show I could do. And not only did I feel sweat falling from my brow, but I felt a little blood falling. I said, I better leave that alone. And this, my impromptu trainer said to me, she said, you got to build up to that weight. You don't start with that weight. I think what she was in telling me that I got to learn how to persevere with the small things so I can persevere with the bigger things. Who am I preaching to this morning? CIU, our students, faculty, staff, you have to learn how to persevere. You got to learn how to deal with some difficult things now. So when it gets a little heavier in the future, when it gets to 50 pounds, you look just as good at 50 pounds as you look when you're at 25. And when you get to 100 pound problem, you'll look better than I did because I look pretty pitiful. But I'm gonna work on that 100 pound bar. I wanna be like Hercules. Y'all ain't saying nothing here. You work on the little one and incrementally, God will give you more. You can improve your bandwidth. You can improve your capacity. Not only do we have virtue and knowledge and temperance and perseverance, but the next one he says, add godliness to that. Wait a minute. It seems like the list just gets longer and longer. Yes, add some godliness. The idea here is to learn how to worship well. The idea with right relationship with God, right relationship with my fellow man. Learn how to be holy. Learn how to be godly. Learn how to walk with God. Learn how to do the right thing. When is it the right time to do the right thing? Right now. Learn how to be godly. That's what the text is telling us here. And I just want to remind you, I want to remind me, that he wants us to be godly. My father, my grandfather, was a handyman around our little town, a painter. And he trained all of his boys and his grandchildren how to paint. And one day we were in somebody's house painting, and I didn't want to paint the closet because it was a tight space. And my granddad said, "Why didn't you paint the closet?" And I said, "Because nobody will ever see it." He said, "I see it. You need to paint the closet." I got into the closet, and I just wanted to paint half of the closet. So I painted the back wall so when he opened the door, he could at least see it was painted. My granddaddy came back. He said, "Why didn't you paint the sidewalls?" I said, "Man, nobody's going to see the sidewall." He said, "Andre, paint the entire closet." I said, "That's going to take time." He said, "I know. Paint the entire closet." So I ended up painting the entire closet. When the homeowner came to pay my granddaddy for painting their home, the first place they looked was in the closet. And they said to one another, "Nobody ever paints a closet. And this is how we know we got a first-class job, because you painted the closet. You painted a place where most people think no one will ever look." You know what? Have you been painting the closet in your life? Do you make sure those places that you think no one will ever look, you make sure it's in detail? You make sure you're godly there? You make sure, when no one is looking, you make sure you're doing the right thing. That I'm going deeper, that I'm doing something that most people don't want to do, because it's easy to look godly while we're sitting in here. But it's hard to be godly when we're in the closet of our own homes, of our own lives. When we're in the man cave of our own lives, when no one is looking, can we still be godly? But to that he says, well, let me add some brotherly love to that. You know, to add to this godliness, he says, brotherly love. Wait a minute, why do I have to get along with the person sitting beside me? Wait a minute, look at the person sitting beside you real quick. And look at the person sitting on the other side of you real quick. Yes, he says, brotherly kindness. And if you want to go deep with this, if you want to add something to your faith, he's saying that you have to have this Philadelphia, this phileo type love, this brotherly type love. You got to love that person sitting beside you. You got to come along and put your arm around them sometime. Bear their burden sometime. Let them know that I care for you sometime. Wait a minute. You may be sitting beside somebody you really like this morning. But how about if you see somebody that you don't care for? How about if you see somebody, you rather walk in the other direction before you speak to them? Here's what brotherly kindness does. It teaches us how to love regardless of who we're around. It teaches us how to go deep and how to take our love deep. But not only that, because my time is evaporating so quickly in front of me, he said, add to that love, this idea of agape love. When we have brotherly love, We love because of our likeness to others. But when we have agape love, we love in spite of the differences that we have. You know, I love every student here at CIU. I love every faculty member, staff member at CIU. But it's not because I'm so loving in myself. It's that I allow the love of the Lord to flow through me. And if you want to go deeper this year, you got to say, Lord, when I don't like somebody, let your love penetrate my heart. Let it flow through me. I want to learn how to love like Jesus loved. He stopped dying long enough. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He showed us love on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I love what Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says. He demonstrated his love for us. Why were we yet sinners? Christ died for us. You know, if you want to go deep this year, add virtue. If you want to go deep, add knowledge. If you want to go deep, add self-control. If you want to go deep, add perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. But I got a reason why you want to do this. It tells me in verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you get that? Verse 8 says, you will neither be barren or unfruitful. It's not this idea that you arrive and you have these things and it's over with. Not that it's just yours, but it's the idea that you abound with it, that you stick with it, that you remain there. If you keep growing there, if you keep growing up there, if you abound in these things, you'll never be barren. You'll never be unfruitful. I hope I'm talking to a crowd today that wants to be fruitful for Jesus, not just today, but for the rest of your life. That you want to go so deep, you want to have the biggest watermelons. That you go so deep, you want to have the biggest squash or the biggest cantaloupe. He said, I thought we was talking about some other things. Well, not fruit like that, but you have virtue. You have knowledge. You have self-control. You have perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Verse 9 says, for he who likes these things are short-sighted. Don't you know that your vision is affected by your diet? And what he tells us between verses 5, 6, and 7, that if your diet isn't right, it will affect your vision. You'll become short-sighted. And not only does he stop with this word short-sighted, you might even be blind because you realize that 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 said that Satan wants to blind us. He wants to keep us from seeing the things of God. I don't want any one of us to be short-sighted or blinded, but spiritually have 20/20 because our diet is right. What's our diet? We're growing in virtue. What's our diet? It's not automatic. Knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. We're growing together so that we won't have poor vision. And the rest of verse 9 says, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. See, if you don't keep growing in these things, you'll act like a sinner even though you're a saint. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 calls it, you'll be carnal-minded, where we get our word carnival from. And I pray that that's not you. Verse 10 and 11. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. You know when we stumble? When we're short-sighted and we're blind and our diet isn't right. We'll stumble through life. Instead of getting the best out of it, our virtue, we'll stumble through things. Instead of having knowledge to navigate life, we'll stumble through life. Because we're short-sighted and we're blind. Verse 11, I wish I had more time to spend with verse 10, especially with that call in the election. But verse 11, Dan Coy, you got to ask me to preach again. I'm begging you, because I just skipped over that verse. Verse 11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, y'all missed y'all place to shout right there. That's a hallelujah point right there. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. Abundantly. Can you see it? Into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we've been taught to let go and let God. But you know what? This year I want to teach you a new phrase. To strive hard after God. To chase God with your whole heart. Brothers and sisters, I want you to add these things to your faith that you can go deeper with God than you've ever gone before. And as you go deeper with God, you'll mess around and gain some spiritual muscles, some spiritual vitality. You'll be able to endure like you've never been able to endure before. You'll be able to go places that you've never been able to go before. Why? Because your diet is right. And because your diet is right, your sight will be right. You won't be short-sighted or blind. And you'll have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. Amen. I said amen, church. Amen. That's what God has called us to do. Going deeper with him this year. Can I pray for us today? With every eye closed, maybe there was one of those seven that you need to go deeper in. This year, this semester. Maybe the Holy Spirit has spoken to you in this moment and said, you know what? I need to go deeper there. If you saw anything on that list today that you need to go deeper in, I wanted you to just slip your hand in the air and say, that's me, that's me. I see your hand, yes. If there's anything that he's calling you to on that list to go deeper with, let the Lord speak to you right now. Lord, help me go deeper. I want to go deeper, 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 deeper with you, deeper. I want to add this to my faith so I can go deeper with you. Let me pray. Father, for everyone that raised their hand, I pray, God, that this is a year that we'll do amazing things in our life, that we'll go deeper with you, that we'll get our spiritual diet right, so our sight will be right. So, Lord, we can have that abundant supply available to us. May we never think this will happen automatically, but may we go deep. I pray, God, for those who raise their hand, God, that every time they think about it, they go just a little deeper with you. They meditate on your word. They memorize your word to go deeper with you. I pray, God, that this is every student's mantra this year, that they want to strive hard after you. Not let go and let God, but to really chase you with all of their hearts and to go deeper. I love you and I thank you for teaching me so I can share with my brothers and sisters. In Christ's name I pray, amen. You're dismissed.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.